This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Lucian Aigner was a photographer who had a front-row seat to history in pre-World War II Europe. Born in Hungary, Aigner eventually settled in the Berkshires in Massachusetts until he died in 1999. Before that, he lived in Paris and worked alongside some of the great photographers of the time, including Robert Capa, Henri Cartier-Bresson, and Alfred Eisenstadt. He never achieved their kind of fame, but he did produce some iconic images, most of which were almost lost forever. Now a collection of some of Lucian Aigner's most famous photographs are being shown for the first time since the 1980s at the De Cordova Sculpture Park and Museum in Lincoln. I caught up with guest curator Jennifer Urnane in the main gallery and asked her what made Aigner unique.
He was pretty much everywhere. He managed to get access into places where journalists and photojournalists usually were not able to get into. And so he was able to access people who were typically inaccessible, whether it was heads of state or celebrities, things like that.
One of the first to work with a small, portable 35-millimeter camera, Lucian Aigner took pictures of Mussolini, the Emperor Haile Selassie, and the actress Marlene Dietrich, to name just a few. He also captured images of everyday life in Paris. On the day I visited the exhibit, I met Aigner's daughter, Anne-Marie Aigner, who recalled how she and her three siblings came to appreciate their father's work.
He gave us photos all my life, and we probably tossed them in a pile in the back of our closet. And it really wasn't until the last couple of years, or maybe the last 5 years, but in particular when I was able to work with Jennifer as she started to build this collection, that I realized that what is most remarkable about what my father did, in my opinion, is that you see the stories behind the photos in his voice. To be able to see the, you know, LaGuardia. And
so we're looking at a photograph of Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia taken back in the 1930s or so, right?
And to hear my father's account of how what happened. He was 5 minutes late for the interview. He had to chase the mayor down down in New York City. The mayor never forgave him for being late. And all of a sudden, you're not only looking at an interesting photo, but you're learning a fascinating glimpse of that moment and the personality behind me. And you look at a Marlene Dietrich photo, which is part of this collection, and you realize, because of my father's account, that her 9-year-old daughter was under the table playing. And here's this world-famous actress dealing with parenting problems, you know, during a lunch, a lunch meeting. It's kind of fun.
And Jennifer, I'm struck by how many of these pictures really tell amazing stories about huge moments in the early part of the 20th century.
Not only did he photograph some major political figures in everyday life in Europe leading up to World War II, but he also wrote the articles to accompany his photographs that were then published in photo illustrated magazines and newspapers.
And that was unusual, wasn't it, to actually do the photography and the writing at that time?
Right, that was pretty much unheard of. Usually there were almost two separate species in a way. And so with Aigner doing both of these functions at the same time, you really get a much better idea of the whole story behind the pictures and his observations as he was taking the pictures.
Let's talk in particular about one or two that we're looking at right here. This picture of Il Duce, Benito Mussolini, probably his most famous image that was on the cover of Newsweek. Can you just talk about this image?
Normally when you would typically see a news photo of someone in charge or a famous person, you would expect them to be at looking their best and hoping to look their best. And instead, what Aigner captured was Mussolini with his hand pinching his nose, almost as if he was trying to prevent himself from sneezing or just sort of a nervous twitch. And so what Aigner has done is taken a picture of someone probably at their worst rather than at their best. And I think he kind of enjoyed, in a way, finding these moments where he was getting people unaware of the camera and caught not quite at their best moment to kind of reveal what they're really like behind the so-called mask.
Did you talk to your father about this particular image?
He felt that when he took this photo, Mussolini might have noticed, and he was afraid that at any moment he was going to be, you know, captured by the security police who were there with Il Duce. Did it anyway.
And the picture is interesting because it's almost like he's sneaking up behind the guy in the foreground to get this picture.
Over a shoulder. Yeah.
There was a lot of sneaking done by Mr. Eigner. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, he would march into meetings past all the photographers who in those days were still using the large format camera on the big tripods, so the subjects had to come to them. And he would just, with his hand in his pocket and a little camera in his pocket, walk into the meeting and hold his hand up. He couldn't see over everybody, but he would hold his hand up and take pictures. And that's why he captured a lot of moments that no one else would get.
Can we walk down here? Because another striking image is here of Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie. Jennifer, talk about the significance of this image. And again, from the same era and very much related in history to the picture of Mussolini.
Right. This was taken in 1936. Probably the significant thing about this image, again, compared to what one would typically see of, say, royal portraiture at the time, is that he's being caught sort of out in public waiting for a train, as opposed to, say, sitting on a throne or looking more formal and more regal. And so here he is at a train station, arriving in Geneva with the hope that he'll be able to have the League of Nations help him repel Mussolini, who's wanting to invade his country. And so what you see on his face is not this sort of composed, confident man, but really someone who's looking vulnerable and a little apprehensive.
So among the many wonderful images is this battered suitcase, and it's got some old stickers on it, tourist class from cruise liners that your father took.
Wonderful suitcase.
What's the significance of the suitcase?
Oh, my. The suitcase is the whole story, the heart of the story, to me anyway. My father was sent to the States in 36, but then he went back. The war was obviously brewing, and he made a decision to move my mother and my oldest brother, who was born in France, to the States. And my mother gave him an ultimatum. You can either take the baby carriage or you can take the suitcase with the 50,000 negatives. And she won. She usually did. And so they took the baby carriage. And after the war, they went back to the building, and the building had been occupied by the Nazis, and the building was bombed, and there was no suitcase. In 1950, my uncle was getting ready to come, and my uncle went back to the building, spoke to the concierge, who said, oh, yes, I took that suitcase, and I hid it from the Nazis.
Wow.
Gave the suitcase to my father. And my father took the suitcase and put it in his basement.
In Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts, in Great Barrington. And he forgot about it. And it wasn't until the early 70s when one of the large photo houses had developed a new paper and came to my father and asked him if he would test this paper and said, "Do you have any negatives?" And he said, "Well, I got these old things." And then he opened and the rest, as they say, is history. And he spent the remainder of his life sort of sorting through the negatives.
Now, he died in 1999. What was his attitude toward these pictures? I mean, this must have been enormously satisfying for him to have them and to look back on this body of work in his life.
Honestly, I don't think he was the kind of person who spent a lot of time saying, "Why am I not more famous? How come they're famous and I'm not?" He really focused on the content of the photos, and he spent a lot of time writing, continuing to write on his old little typewriter, which is actually also on display as part of this exhibit. I don't honestly think he ever spent one moment regretting anything. I think he really appreciated his life, and it was more like, good luck to my family with whatever they do with the pictures. Isn't that remarkable? But it's true.
Well, thanks so much for sharing these pictures, your father's pictures, and these great stories. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Jennifer, as well.
Thank you.
That was guest curator Jennifer Urnane and Anne-Marie Eigner, the daughter of the late photographer and journalist Lucien Eigner. The exhibit, Lucien Eigner Photo Story, will be at the DeCordova Museum in Lincoln through April 24th. And you can see some of the photographs that we talked about on our website, radioboston.org.
Well, tomorrow on Radio Boston, former Blue Cross Blue Shield CEO Cleve Killingsworth walked away from the healthcare insurance giant with an $11 million severance package. That might be par for the course in the private sector, but Blue Cross Blue Shield is a nonprofit organization in an industry that's criticized for not doing enough to control costs. So we'll look at executive compensation in healthcare nonprofits. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.